GSF would like to suggest that the following program may use strong language and discuss topics that may be sensitive for those within earshot. Listener discretion is advised.
Who doesn't love music? Join the weekly discussion at the CJSF Record Club with other music aficionados checking out new releases and forgotten classics, exploring and learning about genres and loving music. Every Thursday at CJSF Burnaby from 4 p.m. till 5 p.m. Listen, learn, and share.
My goodness, what a start to a show. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting off of Simon Fraser University, the Burnaby Mountain. We broadcast on the unceded, stolen lands of the Kequitlam, Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh territories. That song that you heard right at the top of the show there was Threads by Employed to Serve. One quick note on that song. I played an Employed to Serve track last week, and I'd only really known one of their albums, and I don't know, it's the one that came out in like 2019 or whatever. Eternal Forward Motion, I think is what it's called. And I got into it in high school, and it was like a cool thing, and it's like a relic of my past. But then I, you know, after last week's show, I was contemplating and reflecting and like, wow, what should I play next week on the radio? So I decided to go back to, Employed to Serve's first album, which, oh my gosh, there's a weird thing. Sorry, there's a weird thing going on in the fader there. And decided to check out that first Employed to Serve album. And it turns out it goes crazy hard. A lot of metalcore influences on it. So anyways, really cool song there, Threads. That outro riff and then that like two-step part at the beginning. Whew, it's my stuff. Okay, I have something very exciting to share with you fine people. Myself and sometimes co-host of this show, Dean, were able to interview the lovely, powerful Cherry Blossom, who is a local pro wrestler, Kitsilano-based. You can find her wrestling at all sorts of shows around town, whether that be NEW, Nation Extreme Wrestling, or Boom, or any of the other promotions around town. And we had the luxury of seeing her wrestle Big Ann on like the 21st, I think, at NEW show. And from that show, we got in touch with each other, and I invited her to do an interview with me. So here's 12 minutes of us chatting with Cherry Blossom, and I hope you enjoy that. Second ever interview on this show, on this radio show, at least as it's been on CJSF. So I'm very excited to share this. We will come back with some music afterwards, but for now, let's learn a little bit about being a pro wrestler, shall we? Enjoy a chat with Cherry Blossom. Okay, everyone, you are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. I am Jeremy, and I'm joined with...
Dean,
and we have the lovely, the powerful, the ever-entertaining Cherry Blossom here with us. How are you today, Cherry?
I'm doing very well today. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
We're good.
Get up on that microphone. Okay, so Dean and I had the pleasure of seeing Cherry Blossom in action at NEW show on the 15th of February. That felt right.
I believe so.
Yeah, and it was a really great time.
It's the 21st.
It's the 21st of February. Close enough. And yeah, I want to thank Chris at NEW and everyone for getting us hooked up over there. But it was an amazing show. And because of that show, Dean and I came up with some questions to ask Cherry Blossom. So without further ado, Dean, what is the first question that we shall ask Cherry Blossom?
Into it. I was really curious about your ring gear because it's unlike anything I've ever seen. How did you come up with it?
I would say I was heavily influenced by lots of Joshi wrestlers. So I got the little skirt going on. And I really like having like the balance of, you know, between practical functionality and being also like colorful and cute. So that was what I wanted to go for. And, you know, I want to be like able to comfortably to be able to fight, but also like show my personality and style. So yeah, I would say heavily inspired by the Joshi wrestlers. But yeah, I my first gear was actually two piece, and now I'm wearing a singlet with the skirt, really different when I'm in the ring, and I'm really liking the singlet style.
Awesome. What was the progression of like you going from like the two-piece thing to the singlet? Like, was there any like performance reasons, or did you just like want to change it up? What's the process behind
that? You know, it was as easy as somebody one time I had to wear different gear for different promotion, and somebody just came up to me, "You look great in singlet," and I was like, "Okay, that's my next move."
Awesome. That's fantastic.
With that being said, what do you do to prepare for your matches?
You know, if I like step back to like the night before, I usually go for like a jog or some sort to just like keep my mind clear. And on the day of, I try to keep it simple, like eat good. That's really good. Eat good, and then try to not like overcomplicate my mind too much. So just have like the switch on and off, like fight mode, and then I'm just kind of get into the cherry mode. But yeah, I try to honestly clear mind is like the best thing I can do before a match to prepare.
Awesome. Does that include like any meditation or anything like really mindful on your part, or is it just like a visualization?
I like doing lots of like breathing exercise, just kind of like keeps me calm, zen. So yeah, I would say like breathing exercise a lot.
Sweet. And if I can add on one more question, do you have like a favorite pre-match meal? Like, so I used to play a lot of drums and I always had to have buttered noodles before I went on stage. It just had to be that way. Is there anything like that for you?
I like eating oranges.
Yeah. There you go. Need that vitamin
C. You know, feels fresh, tastes fresh. I don't know, smells good.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that.
Good
I love
vitamin, that. Right? Yeah.
Every time I go into a show, my like designated meal is just like a really, really large like canister of original Monster. And then I get a big sandwich from the sandwich shop that's right next to my squat classes. It just has to happen.
It has to be that way.
Yep, there's
just nothing else.
It has to be that way.
All right.
What wrestlers inspire you?
I would say, again, I'm pretty biased on the Joshi wrestlers.
As you should be.
But really like, I would say, yeah, I really like Tajiri. Again, he's Japanese, so I'm pretty biased again. But like Io, Hikaru Shida, Riho, If I say mention from like old time, Akira Hokuto, pretty legend in Japan. And I would say locally, definitely Nicole Matthews. I mean, she's my trainer and she's my coach. She's just the best. So honestly, I've been inspired by lots of female wrestlers locally and around the world. But yeah, I would say overall, it's really hard to find, just pick one person. But yeah, a lot of things for me, like I really like showing that fighting spirit by like screaming and have that like the facial expressions. For me, I think that's one of the biggest thing I like doing and I like showing to the audience. And yeah, that kind of does come from a lot of like Joshi wrestler, especially the fighting spirits from old time. You know, it really is. You're looking at the fight, but it's more like, I don't want to say exaggerated, but it just, they're showing more emotions. And I think that's the best part of wrestling, in my opinion. So yeah.
I love that. I love that. And I totally got that vibe from your match. Like, it really seemed like you were putting as everything you had into it, and it made it all the more easy to like get invested as a fan. Like, I don't know, Dean and I were just screaming the whole time, but it was really easy to get involved with your match. And I mean, Nicole is also just like an amazing talent. That's it's really awesome that she's had such an impact on your wrestling journey so far.
Mm-hmm. When did you decide you wanted to be a pro wrestler?
I watched WWE on TVs and stuff like that. But I would say about 3 years ago, I went to go watch an AEW show at Commodore Ballroom. And this was the show where Minoru Suzuki, Miyu Yamashita, Maki Ito, and Nicole was on it. And first time seeing it live, something made me feel different about, wow, this is like real. And this is just so cool. And people are just shining and just everything about it. Felt like, oh, I want to do this. It's just something in my mind was like, oh, I really want to try out for this. And I looked it up, like nearest wrestling school or something like that. And Lionsgate Dojo was at the top of the search. And I think everybody knows by now, I think Lionsgate Dojo is honestly one of the best in Pacific Northwest. So getting these all the knowledge from the great coaches at Lionsgate Dojo is, I'm really, really grateful for that. And yeah, if Lionsgate Dojo was not here, I honestly would not be here right now. So
there you go. Shout out Lionsgate Dojo. Big time, big time.
Yes.
What is it like to see your mentor in Nicole wrestling on the same cards as you, but you've only been involved for a number of years now, a couple of years? Does that give you a lot of courage going forward, or does it feel like you've maybe hit a ceiling? Like, where do you see yourself moving on, you know, in the years to come as a wrestler?
You know, I honestly didn't see myself having matches on NEW and like different promotions, but because of having help from amazing coaches I have, and like to get to be on the same show, sometimes to be to wrestle them is really big for me. And you know, like, it's different having your coaches look at your matches.
Totally.
And I always have the mentality of, you know, wanted to get better, wanted to improve. So then honestly, coaches are always there to give feedbacks and whatnot. So it really does help growing as a wrestler and as a person as well. Not to mention, like, Lionsgate Dojo have such a great environment and atmosphere they have there. And just, like, everything about that dojo makes me feel safe and makes me feel like I'm home. And I think being in that environment and, again, like, learning from the best, I went everywhere right now with this topic.
No, it's good.
But
I love it.
I think I'm at the best place right now to grow and improve. So honestly, shout out to Lionsgate Dojo for this.
I love that. I love that answer so much. Mm-hmm. Dean.
Yeah. So working with such safe people must be really amazing, especially like having a lot of coaches in your back corner. Who do you enjoy working with in the ring the most, though?
Definitely Liza Hall, hands down. She's great. I also love working with Big Anne. Not to mention, I got my ass bean, but...
You'll get her next time, man. She's just... Great. Her days are numbered, yeah.
Absolutely.
And also Nicole Matthews as well. I would say those were, like, one of the three the best ones I love being in a ring with. And honestly, anybody who is very experienced and... all these matches I have, like, I always get to learn something new, and yeah, I'm always psyched for that. So, but I would say those are three are my favorites so far.
Three of my favorites as well, for what it's worth.
Mm-hmm.
We only got a couple more questions here, Cherry, so we'll wrap this up somewhat briefly. But Dean, what else we have here?
Yeah. So that Big Anne match was absolutely nuts. I was losing my mind. I know that that's probably my favorite match that I've seen live. So I'm curious as to what your favorite match is that you've been in.
You know, I would say for NEW, 2024, I want to say, I faced Zoe Sager. She is great. I would say that's one of my favorite matches for sure. Outside of NEW, as well, I've had a match with Gambler. I've had a match with Miles DeVille. I would say those are one of my favorite as well. Again, like, depending on a promotion, you know, who I face is different. And somebody like Miles DeVille, like, I really didn't think I can ever face them. But he's amazing in the ring, and just to be able to have the opportunity was amazing, and I'm really hoping I can I'll be able to face more people in the future.
Absolutely. That's the end of our questions, Cherry. You've been absolutely amazing here. Can you promote what you have coming up next so that people can check it out?
All right. I've got, let me look at my calendar real quick. I have this March 7th, Saturday, I have Boom Pro Wrestling. I'm facing Tony Baroni, so that would be very exciting. This is at the Kitsilano League. I do also have Coco Harriet coming out March 28th. That's at Boom Pro Wrestling as well. I'm not on the show, but on the same day, March 28th, NEW is also hosting a show as well. So that would be a very good month this month.
Awesome. We love that so much, Cherry. As always, do you have an Instagram that people can follow, Cherry?
Yes. Cherry Blossom Pro Rescue is my handle.
There we go. So getting connected with Cherry, follow her on Instagram. You can see everything coming up. Stay tuned to Boom Pro Wrestling here in Kitsilano. Check out NEW as well as their shows that go on around Vancouver. Cherry, thank you so much for your time. This was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
I got caught. That just happened. I just got caught. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. I want to thank Cherry Blossom for the fantastic interview that she had with Dean and I. As always, check out Cherry Blossom on Instagram. You can find out all of her upcoming dates. That's at Cherry Blossom, PuroResu. PuroResu. I don't know. That's what we got. Yeah, thank you, Cherry Blossom. Absolutely lovely, lovely person. Okay, now we got nothing but music people, and I'm going to try to keep away from this microphone because we've had a lot of talk already in the first 20 minutes. That song you just heard is from an old Montreal band. Their name is A Death for Every Sin. That song is Holding On to Hats Left. Yeah, it's just... I've been going on this kick of older hardcore, older metalcore, older loud stuff, and it's been really liberating is the wrong word. We're just listening to music here, but like really refreshing. It's been really refreshing to get into some older stuff, hear some older production techniques, hear some older mixing techniques, whatever. And it's just nice to see that evolution. You know, we can take the Employed to Serve song that we heard at the top of the hour, take that A Death for Every Sin song that we just heard now. There's some similarities there, but they're recorded like 20 years apart. So, pretty cool. Speaking of older music, I have found a band that is a pretty large band in terms of heavy music. I'd never heard of them before. But their first album is absolutely wild. So, the band is from the UK. Oops, let me make sure I'm doing this properly. The band is from the UK, and they're called Carcass. Grindcore band. Now, their later stuff sounds like grindcore, but the first album is from 1988 and it sounds so crazy. If we're talking about production and stuff, this record sounds wild. So I'm just going to play it. You'll know what I'm talking about when you hear it. The song is called Carbonized Eye Sockets, and then I'm just going to let this burn for a bit. We're going to listen to a bunch of stuff after this. So CJSF, as always, you might be listening to this on CKXU 88.3 FM, Southern British True Alternative. Yeah, more heavy music. Thank you again to Cherry Blossom. I love pro wrestling, and yeah.
Yeah.
All right. CJSF 90.1 FM. Picked up a guest on the way over. Everyone say hi to Grayson real quick.
Hi, everybody.
There you go. Grayson loves metal music. That's a little known fact about Grayson. He actually loves screaming and everything to do with shrill noises. So the songs you just heard real quick, I played a lot of them. We had, in reverse chronological order, Traditional by Rorschach. Whatever. The song before that, Stronghold Live by Gatekeeper. The song before that, Burden of a Solar Mass by Full of Hell and Vancouver's very own Andrew Nolan. Andrew there is dropping in all the noisy, beautiful bits. Song before that, Strength Through Restraint by Dead in the Dirt. Song before that, the UK's own Napalm Death with the song Scum off of the album Scum. How do we all feel about that heavy bass in the intro? I know y'all heard it. Yeah, totally. And then the song before that was Carbonized Eye Sockets by Carcass. Boom! Okay, we got 20 minutes of show left, but we got Grayson on the mic. Grayson, what do you have to say to the people this evening?
I love metal music so much that you'll never hear me talking about it.
What do you love? Okay, what do you love more, metal music or a sinker?
Sinker, okay. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something about the way like a 97 one just like runs in,
dude,
front
Mason
hips,
Miller's?
Right over the plate. Yeah, he's a bad man.
He's a bad man.
He's an evil, evil man.
Sum up how you feel about the Seattle Mariners going into 2026 in a short amount of time.
So hopeful. It's tragic.
Okay.
Are you thinking
it's like pennant or nothing?
Well, I don't want to say yeah, but yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely is. Listen, like our rotation's good.
Yeah.
The guys are healthy.
Mm-hmm.
The bats are working well. We got rid of Polanco, which is tragic. I love that guy.
It's tragic.
I hope the Mets are good enough that it doesn't feel bad, but not good enough. I hope we see the Mets in the World Series.
Ugh, really?
That'd be sick. Dude, Mariners, I mean, Mariners Mets World Series?
I mean, that'd be cool.
That would feed families, brother.
It's more like the fact that I'm a Jays fan and Bichette's now playing third base for the Mets for like $50 million a year. It just kind of makes me want to puke.
His arm is a noodle, brother. That thing does not work so good.
I can't sit here and say I told you, but there's a reason the Jays are going to move in a second.
Yeah, and like honestly, I think dumping his contract was one of the best things the Jays have done. They picked their team is going to be gross. I hate to say it. Cease is a dirty dog.
Cease is a dirty dog that loves to throw nothing more than four innings.
Yeah, I saw a stat on him that he led the league in walks,
strikeouts
mm-hmm. at the same time, which that doesn't make sense. And it's also like innings pitched. He's like something gross. Yeah. It's like, Dylan, what do you do? You go out there, you just throw it 100 and then throw a disgusting slider half the time and you're maybe the best pitcher on the planet. And then the other half the time you're like
dog water.
You just got called up. Like, what do you like? Explain yourself, Dylan.
I feel like he focuses so much on just preventing contact by any means necessary that the walks are just like bound to happen. But
And listen, you know what would change that? If he picked up a sinker ball, if he threw to weak contact.
Hey, did we just unlock Dylan Cease?
I think we might have just unlocked Dylan Cease. A lot of teams are going to the three fastball model. Jonah Tong just picked up a cutter. I heard it wasn't that good. That's fine. You know?
Spring training.
Yeah, spring training. It really doesn't matter. But like, I don't know. I think the reason I feel good, I'm going to talk about the Mariners again.
Please.
All of those starters, at least, like, everyone throws two fastballs,
mm-hmm.
even down into the bullpen.
Yeah, 100%.
Everyone is throwing a good four-seam, and everyone throwing is a vicious sinker.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, our best pitcher, Brian Wu, and then probably, I would say George Kirby, and then Logan Gilbert.
Whoa,
I know people
that's crazy.
Yeah, there's some of the way...
I'm super high on Gilbert.
There's some of the way that Gilbert moves his body when he delivers the ball that I just, like, I don't like looking at it, and I don't want to believe he's better than George Kirby because I like watching George Kirby pitch more.
I can definitely understand George Kirby's more aesthetically pleasing, but, like, Gilbert has that, like, Lincecum quality of, like, how are you actually pulling this off
it,
right now?
First of all, it looks like it hurts.
Yeah, like a lot.
And then also looks like, how is he putting his splitter where he wants it, dude? Like, he's a big guy. He's like 6'6".
Yeah.
He's kind of built like he's got, you know, sticks in his body. I mean, I don't know. It just doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
But like those three guys in a rotation, like people talk about the Dodgers, whatever, dude. That is an incredible rotation.
Yeah.
Emerson Hancock, intermittently extremely good.
Mm-hmm.
Bryce Miller was actually great last year when we needed him.
Totally.
Bizardo's a bona fide stud.
Mm-hmm.
We have maybe the best, I would say, the best closer in the American League.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that.
Well, yeah, Chapman,
No, I'm not putting 40-some-year-old Aroldis Chapman up against who you got coming out of the bullpen.
He had a career year last year.
He had a career year, and I understand that he's a power pitcher and it all comes from his lower body, so he's not throwing out his arm, but there's something to me about watching an old pitcher that's like, this is just destined to fail at some point. Like, yeah. I've watched R.A. Dickey. Like, I get it. Like,
You want a Cy Young like that, though.
Yeah, well, then he didn't win a Cy Young. Yeah, he had, like, 3 years of a 5 ERA, and the Jays were like, let's just roll him out there for 200 innings.
That's true.
But anyways.
But Munoz is a certified stud.
Yeah.
Bizardo is excellent. I think if Carlos Vargas becomes a reliable arm, that is maybe top five bullpen in the major leagues.
Oh, I think... I you'd be hard pressed to name five better bullpens than the Mariners right now.
The Padres, unfortunately, yeah, well, the best, and it's not even close.
Yeah, and they valued that. Like, they went to last year's trade deadline. They're like, okay, this is our weakness, and it's not going to be our strength.
If the Dodgers 2024 bullpen, like, this is mostly the same guys.
Yeah.
If they can throw the way they did in 2024, the Dodgers.
Yeah, but it's cheating though, because you have Glasnow on starter money, but he's coming out of the pen.
Yeah, I'm really thinking of like guys like Trinan, Tanner Scott. If Sasaki is a reliever,
he's 100% a reliever.
Alex Vesia, my heart goes out to the guy. I want him to just demolish people this year.
He's been lighting it up in March.
Yeah, and he's got long hair now, and he's popping off. He struck out Otani. He's like yelling. I was like, yeah, like get it, like get into a big guy.
Yeah, 100%.
But you know, and I'm gonna go back to the Gabe Spear. He's playing in the World Baseball Classic.
100%.
This guy. He's so good, dude. He's so good. Big lefties for big moments. I think that 92-win team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Cal Raleigh's going to slump relative to last year. I think he's going to hit like around 35 or 40. And we're still going to say this is maybe the best catcher in the league.
He is the best guy. I don't know who else would be better in the AL. The Alejandro Kirk power resurgence isn't going to happen anytime soon. All the good catchers in the NL.
It's true.
Patrick Bailey, Real Muto.
Yeah, this is true. I just wonder how Cal is. Like, I know his framing numbers were apparently down from last year. And, like, I was reading, I don't know if I was reading or I watched a video, something about, like, the way that the umpires were calling the strike zone. It's probably going to change with ABS.
Yeah.
But, like, dude's a good framer.
Yeah.
Dude's big. Dude swings the bat. Dude has a good relationship with all of his pitchers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, dude. The Mariners are very, very, very good. Like, everyone wants to be there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Great chemistry.
I can't even remember the name of what's that third baseman? We just picked him up from St. Louis?
I don't even remember.
Brendan Donovan?
Donovan, yeah.
Yeah, like, we just kind of fixed all of our holes. We have a first baseman now. We have a good outfield.
You have, like, my favorite first baseman, aside from Vladdy now. He's a dog.
Yeah, and he's there. He wants to be there.
Absolutely.
We have, like, maybe the nicest guy in the entire league playing shortstop.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think, and the fans are really big on the city.
Mm-hmm.
The Seahawks just won.
Vibes are high in Seattle.
I don't know about the Kraken, but like, you
they're
know.
In the playoff. They're in the playoff spot.
Are they actually?
I think they're like a point out, yeah.
Seattle's a winning city, and I think it will continue to be a winning city. And that is all from me, folks.
There you go. Thank you, Grayson, for being here. I at one point hope and dream many moons from now that we can host a sports talk show, but that's for another conversation. Guys, I have a couple more songs to play. This should take us right to the end. So for now, enjoy the song that's recommended to me by Dean, our entertainment coordinator. This is Gornography by Nude, Chicago-based band. Then we're going to listen to Tunic, Mets, Life in Vacuum, Ken Mode, and Love and Terror Cult. All right, keep it locked. And thank you, Grayson, for that amazing little chat on sports. Love that.
I was just doing my job. I didn't want anyone to get hurt. I was just doing my job. I was just doing my job.
space. Sail on space!
We'll be right back.
Okay, impromptu getting on the mic because I had too much fun with Grayson and we ran out of time to tell you everything that's been going on. Okay, those last few songs you heard, we're going to do this in a minute. Subject B by the Love and Terror Cult, Very Small Man by Ken Mode, Blind Youth Industrial Park by Metz, Common Denominator by Tunic, and Gorgonography by Nude. Those last four songs you heard are all Canadian. Please check out those artists if you are so inclined. And yeah, you're going to catch another episode of the 60 Minute Stage Dive next week, 8 p.m., Thursday nights, right here on CJSF 90.1 FM. I want to give a huge, heartfelt thank you to not only Cherry Blossom, but also Dean, as well as Grayson, as well as Liz. Without those four kind folks, this show this evening would have sucked. So, thank you to all those people. Check out some local pro wrestling if you want. And, one last thing, Emilio from Music Discovery Club or whatever that thing's called. Hope you enjoyed the show if you listened. Otherwise, I'll catch you next week.
CJSF.